Today we're going to consider Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16, down through the end of the chapter, verse 28. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. So this word covenant in the Greek could also mean will, and I believe this interpretation would lend its hand directly to the previous verse. It builds directly off of it as we discussed our eternal inheritance. So, verse 17, for a will is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. So a will takes place, obviously, in the inheritance that's given with that will after the passing of someone. Verse 18, therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. So God's covenant made with Israel, the Mosaic covenant, was inaugurated or put into motion through the killing of animals by Moses and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 19, for when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book by itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. Verse 22, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. So in the Old Covenant there was forgiveness of sins in the sense of ritual cleansing, pointing forward to the true cleansing of those who believed and would receive Christ. So cleansing came through the shedding of blood. And in the New Testament, truly through Jesus Christ, there could be no cleansing or making of new hearts, no forgiveness of iniquities, and no mercy without the shedding of his blood. So we see that this cleansing now, this true cleansing, comes through the blood, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 23, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So again, he's pointing out that the temple and the tabernacle, these earthly things, were merely shadows, or, as he uses the word here, copies of the things that are in heaven. And the blood of animals and goats cannot take away the sins of man. Rather, they were picturing what Christ, the perfect sacrificial lamb, would come and do in the true heavenly places. So as we just saw, God ordained the shedding of blood in the Old Testament to ceremonially cleanse the pictures of the heavenly things. How much more must there be cleansing of the true heavenly things, which were illustrated through the earthly pictures, by Jesus Christ, as he cleanses them, enters the Holy of Holies. Verse 24, for Christ did not enter holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Christ entered into the very true presence of God as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, not his sins, and not over and over again, but once for all with his incorruptible blood. He did this, why? To save us from our sins. He went on our behalf. In the past, I've really enjoyed reading about Navy SEALs and the thing, different stories or accounts from them. And I read of one man who struggled with drugs and drinking, and he was trying to get his life turned around, and his family would pray for them. And he had a girlfriend who was trying to help him. And one of the biggest turning points for him in his life was when he decided to become a Navy SEAL. But one of his best friends was trying to help him get in, and his best friend's dad was a high-ranking general. So he walked into a recruitment office, and after seeing his history of jail and drugs and drunkenness, the officer told him that there was really nothing he could do to get him into the program. But as he looked to the side, he saw actually a picture of his friend's dad on the wall, and he said, try this. Will you call that man and ask him about me? And to make a long story short, that recruiting officer called that general, and he vouched for this man, and he became a SEAL, and he became a SEAL who is a legend to this day. And so he was able to point to this general, and that general vouched for him and got him in. How much more is the power of Jesus Christ as he vouches on behalf of his brothers and sisters who have trusted in him. We are not deserving to get into life, eternal life, into heaven, but Jesus Christ vouches for us as our Lord and Savior, as the one who has entered into the Holy of holies. Verse 25, nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrificing of himself. So the priest entered year after year, but Jesus entered once for all. Verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, for those who eagerly await. So in short, here are some quick things. Our hope in him will one day be consummated. Another thing, all of us will face death, and after that physical death, we will face judgment for sin, unless we have hope in Christ. As Jesus was truly man, he himself faced death, and this death was once, and for the sake of many. He will appear a second time, bringing consummation of the salvation which he has provided through his death. Who will the salvation be made complete in? Those who are believing in him and therefore waiting eagerly for his return. And as we wait eagerly for his return, nothing on this earth should compare with the immeasurable glories of that which is to come, of being in God's presence. There is no missing out on the things of life here on earth. There's no greater joy we will ever feel than when we see our Savior's face. So keep running the race and looking towards Jesus.